Thanks for tuning into the Refuge Church Sermon Podcast. It's our prayer that the Spirit would use God's Word to stir your affections for Christ during this time. While we're glad to provide this online content, please remember that it's not intended to replace commitment and connection within a local church family. Now, here's this week's message.
We should be excelling in and doing well. So it is my pleasure this morning to get to talk about meditation. And the passage that will be our guide will be Psalm 1. So if you have your Bibles, you can go ahead and get open to Psalm 1. It's going to be a few minutes before I get there, but you can go ahead and find your place. It'll also be up on the screen later. So again, last week we began our journey through these four core Christian practices: prayer, meditation, study, and fasting. And I'm going to say those over and over again so they get drilled into your mind. Prayer, meditation, study, fasting, because these are to become part of our day-to-day life. Now, there are a few things I want to touch back to on prayer. First of all, prayer should be effortless. Our conversation with God, with Christ, with the Holy Spirit should be ongoing. It's something we do throughout the day. We start our morning in prayer. We pray throughout the day as we go to work or as we're in our houses. And then we close out our day in prayer. We're in constant communion with God. We praise, we repent, we ask for intercession. We thank God, we ask Him to sustain us, to provide us, we ask Christ to heal us. We intercede for others who are in our lives, who need Christ, who need healing, who need love. Last week we prayed through the Lord's Prayer. It's a great place to start in our prayer life. We can also pray through the Psalms. They are the great prayer book that God has given us in His Scriptures. We can pray through creeds. We can pray through by ourselves, or we can pray with others. We may pray with our spouse or our children or friends, our coworkers. You can pray aloud, or you might just pray in your head. We can pray in our houses, in our cars. We can pray at Starbucks. We can pray in our cubicles at work, or we can pray here in this place, church. There are some acrostics that may help you when you go into prayer, like ACTS, A-C-T-S. Adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. These become a guide for praying. Or another one, praise, P-R-A-I-S-E, which is praise. We repent, we ask God, we intercede, we speak this word, and we enjoy His presence. Now, I want to move us from prayer to meditation. And as we move from study to prayer to meditation to contemplation, we go deeper into the presence and the reality of God. We start with our daily concerns, those things that are currently occupying our mind, and we present them to God, and we say, God, take these away. Clear these out of my mind so that my focus can be You. And as these concerns clear away, we begin to sense the presence of God. We begin to listen for His truth. And that is meditation. Why meditation? Why not? Now, for many, meditation, that word is kind of a scary word. It carries with it negative connotations because it's become so associated with the New Age movement, with Eastern mysticism. In a very secular sense, meditation is looked on as the act where we reflect upon, or we ponder, or we plan or intend. That has nothing to do with God, right? The stereotypical posture for meditation is something like this. That's my son, Jonathan. He's doing his best to make a meditation pose. I think even at the time, he was, So it's almost stereotyped, this idea of meditation. Now, when you search online, you'll find charts for meditation's benefits. Some of them are quasi-spiritual. Some of them are very secular, pointing to life and health benefits. This first one says, meditation, why you need to do it. And it talks about four key things. Cleaning the clutter. Cleaning out our energetic clutter that's in our bodies. A physical health, which is good. It is a great byproduct, but it's not something we talk about biblically. Spiritual health, developing and raising our consciousness, raising our vibration. I will tell you, I am not going to teach you how to raise your vibration or take you to a higher level of consciousness today. But like I said, this is kind of how it's presented in this way that, you know, just day to day, when you put on your yoga attire, you go in and you stretch and you meditate, right? You work on your vibration. More secular ways, like this next slide here, show us the benefits of meditation that are more medical, right? It relaxes us. It's good for our heart. It helps us if we're depressed to work through that. It increases blood flow, reduces stress, increases energy. So it's almost like an energy drink, right? So you meditate in the morning, it's like an automatic kick that takes you up. Again, this is not what we're going to talk about. While some of these benefits certainly are gained through Christ-centered meditation, it is a good time to relax, to clear our minds of the day. But it is also a time where we commune with God. And we're going to find out some of the biblical benefits in just a moment here. So Christians, we come together to meditate in order to experience the presence and the person of God. As a way to hear God's voice, meditation offers us a glorious opportunity to dwell completely on the goodness and the perfection of our Lord. He wants us to be in communion with Him so that we can learn His will, we can realize His purpose, we can believe His promises, see His work, and imitate His ways. Let me repeat those. He wants us in communion with Him, and we do that through prayer and meditation and fasting and study, so that we can learn His will, realize His purpose, believe His promises, see His work, and imitate His ways. Meditation in the Bible. We find meditation mentioned all over the Bible, in the Old and the New Testaments. Just a few examples. Genesis 24:63, and Isaac went out to meditate in the field toward evening. Joshua 1:8, the book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to it all that is written. The Psalms are loaded with references to prayer and meditation, because the Psalms are indeed our prayer book. They are guides towards praise and prayer. We sing the Psalms. We sang Psalms this morning, and we will talk through Psalms right now. Psalm 49:3 says, my mouth shall speak wisdom, the meditation of my heart shall be my understanding. Psalm 77:12, I will ponder all your work and meditate on your mighty deeds. Psalm 104:33 and 34, I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have being. May my meditation be pleasing to Him, for I rejoice in the Lord. Psalm 119, this is a great place. I almost preached through this morning because it talks so much about meditation in several portions. In verse 15, we see, I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. We sang about precepts in one of the songs earlier, precepts being the laws of God, what God expects from us. In 119:23, we see, your servant will meditate on your statutes. 119:27, make me understand the ways of your precepts, and I will meditate on your wondrous works. Psalm 119:148, my eyes are awake before the watches of night, that I may meditate on your promise. In the New Testament, we see how Jesus, in the midst of his very busy ministry, made it a habit to withdraw many times to be alone. Jesus speaks of getting away from the bustle of the world to pray and to ponder the things of God. In Matthew 6:6, he says, but when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. To enter in these practices of prayer and study and fasting and meditation is to model after Christ. It is in these disciplines, these practices, that we work out our salvation, practicing the reality of the gospel. These practices are spiritual gifts that God has given us and Christ has modeled for us that allow us to grow in maturity and in rootedness and in understanding of who we are in Christ. My friends, let us pray then this morning before we enter into this passage of Scripture. Heavenly Father, we draw before you this morning, our minds full of the things of this week. Empty our minds now and let us focus on communion with you this morning. Let us focus on how we can be better at letting you know our needs and praising you and drawing upon your words in our daily life and communicating with you on a daily, hourly, moment-by-moment basis. Lord, become a part of our life, of every aspect of our life, of every facet of our life. We invite you in, O Lord Jesus Christ. Our passage today then is Psalm 1, which reads, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. The wicked, they are not so, but they are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Now, Psalm 1 does not quite fit that typical psalmic form of praise or prayer. Rather, it serves as an introduction to a life in praise, adoration, prayer, and meditation. And it's the gateway to this great book of prayer we call the Psalms. It sets the tone, and it describes the posture for communion with God. It defines the way of righteous to be followed and the path of the wicked to be avoided. The psalm begins with a blessing. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. The psalm begins with a promise of deeper happiness. That is a blessing. For those who follow God's pathway of prayer, blessed is the man. This may bring to mind the pattern that we hear in the Beatitudes, or it may take us back into the Old Testament, into Numbers, where we hear the Aaronic, meaning from Aaron, the blessing that we find in Numbers 6, 22 through 27, where we read, "The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, 'Speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, Thus you shall bless the people of Israel. You shall say to them, The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So shall they put my name upon the people of Israel, and I will bless them.'" We step into meditation under the coverage of a blessing. And in meditation, we are guided towards deep spiritual change. We no longer stand with sinners. We no longer sit with the mockers passing judgment. But now we walk, we stand, we sit in the presence of God. We pattern our life after Christ. We no longer delight in the practices of the world, but we now turn to spiritual practices. The gifts that God has given us of fasting, study, prayer, and meditation. Verse 2, "But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night." What is the primary fuel of our meditation then? It is God's precepts. It is the law of the Lord. This is where we start. God's commandments. God's word. In meditation, we let the word of God be the fire that sets our hearts aflame. We are to let this fire fuel our imaginations. And by this great light, we see the face of Christ, our Savior. And we are to delight in and meditate upon the law of the God. When? Day and night. All the time. Don't create walls that prevent you from meditating. It's not about wearing the proper clothes. We don't have to have yoga attire on when we meditate. Or striking the right pose. We don't have to have our fingers out like that. Or having the right lighting in the room. It's not having the right music track going to enable you to commune with God. It's not about having absolute quiet or resting on the appropriate mountaintop, although these things are very nice when you are meditating. God meets us where we are at, and he will inspire us amidst the din of our everyday existence. Don't sweat the details of setting a proper mood for meditation, but rather concentrate on experiencing the presence of God. And to get there, we will need to quiet our thoughts of the daily rigmarole and to actively seek God's face, ready and often. We want to actively seek his blessing. In verse 3, we continue talking about the man who is blessed. It begins, "He is like a tree planted by streams of water." A man like a tree whose roots seep down into the ground under the stream for their nourishment. This man is stable. He is rooted in the gospel. He is rooted in the one who died, ironically, upon a tree. Praying, fasting, studying, and meditating upon the law help build stability in our faith, in our belief, and in our practice, like that tree. Rooted in God's goodness, we prosper in spiritual things. Meditation helps feed our roots. It helps keep us anchored in the faith, anchored in God's word, God's law. God's word, which we contemplate and study, also serves as a guide for getting into meditation. For God's word is not just for good information. Rather, we need to see God's word as the key to unlocking God's blessing and God's power. Continuing verse 3, "He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers." Now, prosperity here is not talking about monetary gain, but rather a wealth of spiritual blessing. When we suffer, then, we are not to wither. Rather, we need to remember that this blessing that God has given us, and we need to fill our mind with the glory of God. In meditation, we affect our hearts, delving deeper and pondering the greatness of God until the greatness of God becomes real to us. It becomes something that is concrete, like this stand. Verse 4, "The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous." The wicked dwell upon the demands and the expectations of this world. When we meditate, we delight in what God has said, and we set aside our worldly desires. Meditation should affect the heart profoundly, foundationally. We need to let the Word of God enlighten our hearts and let our imaginations be fueled by the truth as we center our lives on Christ. So I ask you, what are you centering your life upon? When you are alone and you don't have to think of anything, what do you think of? What do you fantasize about? What do you long for? What do you imagine? What do you fill your daydreams with? What do you dote about? What do you think about while we are worshiping? We need to make Christ that focal point of our thoughts, our fantasies, our longings, our imagination, our daydreams, our solitude, rather than focusing on the desires and the worries of the world. We pave the way for a healthy thought life by engaging in the practices of prayer, study, meditation, and fasting. Verse 6, "For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish." Some might say that Jonathan Edwards modeled well the life of the righteous. He was a preacher, a philosopher, a theologian whose works came onto the scene in the mid-1700s. He was known for his deep contemplation of divine things. He would use God's truth as an approach to move the dialogue from head to heart. And then once he had shifted the focus to his heart, he would seek harmony between his heart and God's word. "I found an inward sweetness that would carry me away in contemplation," Edwards wrote. "I experienced calm, sweet abstraction of soul from all the concerns of the world and fixed ideas and imaginations of being alone, sweetly conversing with Christ, wrapping up and swallowed up in God. The sense I had of divine things would cause a kindling of my heart." I love that line, that he would be alone, sweetly conversing with Christ, wrapped up and swallowed up in God. And that is what we are seeking when we enter into these times of deep prayer and meditation, is to be sweetly conversing with Christ and to be wrapped in his loving arms. That, I think, we could sit and ponder for a long time. Now, you don't have to be a Jonathan Edwards to have an awareness of divine things. Anyone can do this by simply devoting to the practices, as I keep pounding over and over again, of prayer, meditation, study, and fasting. Meditation is formative. It's where we allow the Holy Spirit to take the reins versus putting ourselves in the driver's seat. Meditation is more than just sitting down and thinking about Scripture or God or religious things. Meditation is about sensing God with the mind and allowing our heart to dwell upon deep religious truths. We need to allow God's word to affect us. Meditation is about bringing the truth into contact with the heart until the triune God becomes so real that you seek him with all your being. Meditation signals the descent from the mind into the heart, and it's where we stand before we face the Lord. In meditation, we affect our hearts and our minds with love, delight, and humiliation. And that's the purpose. Meditation is a gift. It's a blessing. It's a delight. For in this practice, we delight in the gospel. In the Gospels, we get a snapshot of Jesus' devotional life. Jesus prays all night. Jesus withdraws. He escapes to deserts and to mountainsides to converse with his Father. in the Garden of Gethsemane, in his meditation that is so profound, he weeps blood. And in the agony of the cross, he cries out to God in prayer, and he utters Scripture. He is the one who meditated, the one upon whom we meditate, God's truth made concrete and applied, God's truth made real. He is the unshakable tree. God wants us to come close so that he may know us, and he wants us to have fellowship with him. And we do this through these spiritual practices of prayer, study, fasting, and meditation. So what does it look like to practice these practices? It's a good question. Here's probably an ideal, right? And I would call this the weekend in reflection. You fast from noon on Friday until noon on Saturday. Saturday morning, you wake up, you go take a walk along the riverfront, maybe on the Katy Trail. You're praying to God, reflecting upon the majesty of his creative power. You find a nice log along the Missouri banks. You grab your pocket Bible, and you start to read through the Psalms. Maybe a portion of Psalm 19 catches your eye. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. You begin to chew on this, reviving the soul. Speaking the passage in your mind, line by line, word by word, and slowly you're set free from the petty thoughts of the day. And you find you're intensely focused on God's word, and you begin to feel the presence working from your mind to your heart as you study and meditate upon God's word. All right, I know that's the ideal. It's not going to happen every day. Here's something maybe a little bit closer to what it might look like at home. You set aside some time each week, daily if possible. Before you dive into scriptures, you pray for understanding, wisdom, and discerning. You find some time for careful reading and studying and research of the Bible. And after intense study, you take some time to meditate on what you read. This is where you start driving things from your head to your heart. You start to dwell and ponder on little bits of passages. And then you close the night in prayer. And you leave free of the concerns that burden you. All right, that still to a lot of us sounds like a lot, right? Oh man, taking an hour every night to get into God's Word. All right. Let's make this even easier, because we're all busy and we all have a hard time finding time to just ratchet down, right? So maybe be flexible. Look for small chunks of time. Keep a pocket Bible handy. Something like this will fit into your coat. Pray anytime you get, any chance you get. Pray in your car. Pray when you're out walking. Pray when you're doing the laundry. Pray when you're making the kids' beds. Pray when you're making dinner. Pray before bed. Meditate. In the morning, when you're on a walk, while you're driving to work, while you're working out, in quiet when you can. Contemplate. Find a half hour, an hour or more, once a week even, just to dive deeper, to get into the Word, to really study it, to really chew on it, and to really reflect upon it, and to invite God into your study and have Him guide you as you go through this. Hopefully this seems like a little more of a reality, right? Finding small chunks during the week in which we can commune with God. For further study, I'd like to just recommend a couple sources as you look to deepen your prayer life and even deepen your time in meditation. Several points today came from some lectures that Tim Keller had given on this topic of meditation. And he has recently published a book on prayer. It's called Prayer, Experiencing Awe and Intimacy with God. So Tim Keller's book on prayer is certainly a good one to start with. Another one that you'll hear about often when you are hearing about Christian meditation is Richard Foster's book called Celebration of Discipline, The Path to Spiritual Growth. Now, Keller comes from a Presbyterian Reformed background, and Foster comes from a Quaker Puritan background. So just understand as you go into either of these books that their theological backgrounds, their denominational backgrounds, do play into how they approach prayer and meditation. To close, I just want to encourage you all to bring these practices of prayer, meditation, study, and fasting, and contemplation into your day-to-day living, and to spend time communing with Christ. Let me close in prayer. Heavenly Father, show us how to get closer to you. We have a lot in our day-to-day lives that are interfering, a lot of things that want our attention and our time, a lot of things that eat up our thoughts, our fantasies, our dreams, our desires, and things that we dote upon. Lord, clear those things away. And let Christ be the focus of our thoughts. Let your word be the focal point for our life. Let us find blessing in your word and in our time with you, Lord. Guide us by your Holy Spirit. Guide us through the words of your Son, Jesus Christ. Guide us as we walk through this, your world that you have created, knowing that it is broken, but knowing that you will one day restore this all, and we will all gather together and commune in the praises and the glory of our Father and the Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Building our identity in Christ for the sake of the world. That's the mission of Refuge Church. For more information, visit us online at seekrefuge.net.